Let's look first of all at the new book, Light of the World. We heard the author himself, Peter Sewald, saying how disappointed he was that so much of the media spotlight seemed to focus exclusively on this question of condoms and AIDS prevention. Were you surprised, first of all?
I'm not surprised at the media and other reactions. And in fact, this is the very thing that the Holy Father talks about with regard to his remarks on the plane going to Africa, that he was disappointed that so many people focused only on the issue of condoms. And I think it is regrettable that once again this is happening. At the same time, for those of us involved in HIV and AIDS work, I found it as a wonderful affirmation of the work that's being done already, for the Holy Father to say that the Church is second to none in this area, and to acknowledge the importance of this response to HIV and AIDS, and also to acknowledge the urgency of this problem, I think is a strong, strong encouragement for church-based organizations that already are engaged in this field, and also hopefully will be a motivation to those who have not been engaged so far.
Do the Pope's words in this book actually make a difference? Your own organisation, Caritas, has welcomed the statement as helping in a very significant way. What difference do these words make?
Well, I think the new thing in these words is that the Holy Father urges pastoral sensitivity. This has always been part of the teaching and the tradition of the Church. And so in a way, it's not new for the Holy Father to say this. And yet for us to read this from the very words of the Holy Father is very, very important. That we should not really be abandoning those people who are engaged in activities that put themselves or others at risk and that are following a behavior that's not in keeping with the teaching of the Church, that we should not abandon them, but we should be accompanying them to help them to become more responsible.
Who or what do you think persuaded Pope Benedict to make this very important statement?
Well, I don't feel very worthy to imagine what motivated Pope Benedict to do this, but we know that he's a theologian and a great theologian. And so he certainly knows the teaching and the tradition of the Church, and he's now has the primary responsibility to guard that teaching and tradition and to promote it. So I think he was acknowledging the pastoral tradition of the Church.
There will inevitably be resistance, won't there, from those who don't want to see this, who see it perhaps as the beginning of a slippery slope.
I think there are some people who have always been fearful of responding to people with HIV and AIDS and who have tried to find obstacles for church-related organizations to do that. So they may also react in a similar manner toward these words of the Holy Father.
As you say, it has long been the attitude of people on the front line, Catholic, lay, religious, on the front line, have been adopting this very pastorally sensitive attitude for years. For them, it must be a great sense of relief, isn't it, that they now have endorsement for the work that they've been doing?
Well, again, I think that many of them already knew the teaching and the tradition of the Church. And it's not that there's been a revolution, as the Pope's spokesperson said. It's not a revolutionary new teaching at all. But certainly I think that they can feel affirmed in the work that they are doing.
Back in the 1980s, the U.S. bishops already came out with an attitude reflecting this difference between official teaching, seeing condoms just as preventing life, but also in this particular instance of AIDS as saving lives. This was reflected in their Many Faces of AIDS document, wasn't it?
The bishops of the United States acknowledge that in the Many Faces of AIDS, again, acknowledge that there needs to be a pastoral approach to people who are engaged in at-risk behavior. But I think it's important for us to see that neither the bishops of the United States in that document or other bishops' conferences, and certainly not the Holy Father, have said that we should simply promote or distribute condoms, because the behavior in which many people engage that puts them at risk is behavior that's outside the teaching of the Church. So we're not in any way trying to affirm that behavior, but certainly simply trying to help them grow and mature toward a more responsible behavior that will be in keeping with the teaching of the Church.
But it does very much endorse the ABC approach that has been taken for many years, doesn't it, by many church organizations?
Well, as I read the words of the Holy Father, he mentions the ABC approach, but again, he's certainly endorsing and promoting the A and B in that, because that is within the teaching of the Church. And he acknowledges that the C might be a first step toward becoming more morally responsible.
We've also seen the head of the UNAIDS organization welcoming the Pope's words. Is this likely to make a difference, do you think, in working better together with organizations that don't share the Church's vision on this?
Well, I think there have already been many areas of collaboration and of shared values with UNAIDS. Caritas Internationalis has a memorandum of understanding and cooperation with UNAIDS since 1999. And that means that we share information, that we offer input into policies that are being considered by UNAIDS. And we also make the point of where our Catholic teaching differs from some of the strategies that may be pursued by UNAIDS and others. But there certainly is an open discussion and dialogue with them already. Certainly, the words of the Holy Father also help to clarify for them what the position of the teaching of the Church is.
Do you think this media fury will perhaps help to throw the spotlight on the incredible work the Church does in promoting AIDS care and prevention?
I hope it will do that. And I can say, as one who's been deeply involved in the Church's work in care, treatment, support, and prevention, that we can be encouraged by the Holy Father acknowledging this work. At the same time, I too hope that the debate around condoms will not overtake the much wider vision that the Holy Father brings through his comments.
If you had to point to what you think is the Church's greatest achievement in this area, what would it be?
Well, one is, and this isn't only restricted to the Church's response to HIV and AIDS, but the Church looks at the whole person. And so they're not just interested in a means of prevention or only in the body or only in the mind, but the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. And we're trying to help people toward integral human development, both as individuals, in their relationships, and then in community. So that's a very, very important contribution of the Church. I think, secondly, the fact that the Church is located in the most marginalized and rural areas, that we're there as locals, not as an outside international organization parachuting in when there's outside funding for it and then leaving when the funding dries up. So again, I think that's a tremendous contribution of the Church, to be there locally, to accompany the people, to understand what their struggles are in the local communities, in their families, and then to respond to them in a respectful, compassionate, and effective way.
The latest report from UNAIDS says there has now actually been a significant decrease in new HIV infections. The report, in fact, suggests that the trajectory of the epidemic has finally been broken. Do you share that optimism?
I share much optimism in that. I mean, in fact, the estimate for this year is 2.6 million new infections, or for 2009 versus 2008, it was 2.7 million. So, yes, it's an improvement. It's certainly a great improvement over 10 years ago, which the UNAIDS reports refers to. But there's still 2.6 million people newly infected in 1 year. So I share the optimism and the enthusiasm, but I also know that there's a tremendous burden that we still have. And we must not only simply see some decreases, but we really need to change the behavior of people, help them to change their behavior to be more responsible so that we could eventually eliminate this problem from the world.
This new report also notes that these successes are counterbalanced by a worrying increase in infections, particularly among men in North America and Western Europe. Are you surprised by this?
I'm not surprised by it, because I think that there's been a real lack of attention to this problem. I think that many people in Europe and in North America believe that this problem already has been solved, or that the antiretroviral treatment is an easy solution to the problem, which it is a help, but it's not in any way an easy solution. And so I'm not surprised about this. And again, because much of the secular world has concentrated so much only on promotion and distribution of condoms, they have forgotten the larger person, the person who needs to become more responsible. And that's why I think the Church's voice in this area of prevention still is most important.
Let's look at Caritas work in particular. You've had a very strong focus on stopping mother-to-child transmission, haven't you, over recent years?
Yes. In 2009, early 2009, we launched a Heart for Children campaign, highly active antiretroviral treatment for children, plus a greater uptake of prevention means through medications to prevent the transmission of HIV from mother to child. And we've had a great deal of interest in this. A great deal of activity has gone on with our campaign. campaign. And certainly this is an area that we share, in which we share many strategies and values with UNAIDS, which is also setting a high priority on eliminating mother-to-child transmission in the world.
The latest report shows that it could, in fact, be virtually eliminated by 2015. Is that true?
Well, we certainly hope so. I think a very positive step that UNAIDS took, and this is reflected in the new report that was just released, is that they're more strategically analyzing the countries where the problem is still very, very serious. So we still had about 370,000 new infections of children during 2009, but now they've seen that the vast majority of those new infections took place in about 14 countries. And so that makes it possible then to work together with the governments and with wider civil society, including faith-based organizations, to try to get more activity and a more effective response in those countries.
Can you give us some examples of countries where this really has been successful, and what do you think the key factor is in this?
Well, I think that the key factor is, first of all, to work with pregnant women and helping them to understand that there might be a risk. And so helping them to be tested for HIV voluntarily with counseling, but to have a test for HIV so that the infection could be identified early and hopefully early in the pregnancy. And then what happens is the mother could go on ongoing treatment for antiretroviral therapy and therefore reduce the level of virus in her blood and in her body fluids, and then there's less risk for the virus to enter into the body of the child, either during pregnancy, during the birth process, or after birth through breastfeeding. So the earlier testing and the earlier treatment of the mother is crucial in all of this. Then also there are those late stage interventions where a dose of antiretroviral medication can be given to the woman shortly before she goes into labor, and then to the child shortly after birth. And that also helps to reduce the risk of transmitting the virus to the child. And finally, if you know the mother is infected during breastfeeding, then to help her see whether she might be able to safely use alternative means of feeding the child, or if not, then to exclusively breastfeed the child and not to use other feeding methods, just exclusively breastfeed.
But combating stigma is essential in all this, isn't it?
Absolutely. This, I think, is a major obstacle. In addition to many women not knowing the situation of their HIV status, then also the stigma and discrimination, and many times that relates to the fact the woman doesn't know because she's even afraid to be tested. Or if she's strongly encouraged to be tested when she goes for antenatal care, then many times she does not return for the results.
And this also depends on educating the entire community, doesn't it?
Definitely. And also to help the entire community then, instead of rejecting people living with HIV, especially women living with HIV, then to receive them, to welcome them, and to help them get the best means of treatment possible.